1047, it's a tax credit bill. Going to go through these one at a time. If the members aren't here, I don't know, should we say that they get an input or not?
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Vice Chair.
I suspect that ultimately they have an input, but when they vote for the bill, so.
That's true. Okay, well, I hope that everybody took the time reviewing all these over the weekend.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sure you spent a lot of time with it.
I did.
Excellent.
These things are memorized.
All right, well, we are opening work session on House Bill 2947. And Ed, I assume you'll be taking notes of everything that we say here for the next set of amendments. Yeah, everything relevant, if you could.
Mr. Chairman, could I just recommend, since we're the only three here this morning,
Yes.
that we just decide the ones we want to do right now and then close the hearing?
I'm actually inclined to do that. Unfortunately, this is a participatory process sometimes. I appreciate you two being on time here. Okay, the first one is the 1.108 Child Development Program contributions. We didn't have any direct testimony on this, however, I have learned that Representative Loken has a bill in House Bill 3447 to eliminate the sunset date on this tax credit. It is a child development and student parent program. Fiscal impact is, or the revenue impact is less than $50,000. And as you probably note, there are limits of 20 child development programs, and the credit is equal to 50% of the contribution, so. The bill would delete this program. What do you all think?
I think the program itself is probably worth keeping hold of. There were some issues here around rewriting it to apparently make it a little more effective. Senator Loken's bill, did she get into the rewriting of it?
No, all Representative Loken's bill does is eliminate the sunset.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Williams.
I guess I'd be inclined to allow the sunset to continue as currently outlined to the credit. I mean, the evaluation indicates that it's not much for enticing people to start up new programs, but it does provide some needed assistance to current programs that are in place. So I think I think my preference would be to just let it ride and probably with the current sunset, so it could be reevaluated.
Okay, I think that's a fair comment. Does everybody agree with that?
Let it ride, no.
Yeah, we'll just, delete this one from the bill, allowing it to continue with the 01 sunset. Okay, well, we struck out on the first one. The next one.
There'll be a lot of that today.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. One, youth apprenticeship sponsorship. Now, we ought to be able to have a little more, be a little tougher on this one, since it has no one participating and no one using it. Started in 1991. The program was eliminated after the 93-95 biennium. So my recommendation is to delete this from statute. Is there anybody who feels otherwise? Okay. Contributions of computer equipment. This, I believe, was in context with the electronics people who said that this was a encouragement to companies to donate equipment. The schools, the education system use this as a sort of an enticement to donate computer equipment. Has a sunset date of 04. Frankly, I'm inclined to eliminate this tax credit. So I think it's such a small amount, and I believe that schools can make their case for contributions, as they certainly have in view of the huge capital and other campaigns at higher ed institutions, so I would recommend deleting this one.
Mr. Chairman, I agree, and I note that it's only 10% of the fair market value. I don't think that's going to motivate anybody to donate new equipment, and they're either going to donate it or they're not.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Williams?
I guess I personally take a little bit of a different tact on this. I thought that the electronics industry was able to actually make a reasonable case that the discredit, especially with respect to the piece of higher education, is an important credit. And it seems to me that as we continue to search for more funding dollars for higher ed especially, that although it's only 10%, that this is a component piece to higher ed making a pitch for additional equipment that may, in fact, have some advantage to them getting that equipment. And I agree it's not a lot of money, but I still think it's probably a useful tool, and so I guess I'd personally favor maintaining this one, but I may be in the minority.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman? Yeah, I mean, I would point out that as fine as it is that firms will donate computer equipment, how about other equipment? I mean, this is targeted at one type of equipment. It doesn't include the lots of other tools that could be donated to schools that could get the same tax credit. It doesn't make that provision. It's only 10% of the fair market value. The total impact was $200,000 in the current biennium. And what measures like this do when they create such little impact and there's very little evidence that they really promote donations is it gums up our entire tax code. You know, we have all these special provisions in our tax code. I think part of this exercise here is to get a more simplified, more fair tax code. You know, and based upon those reasons, I would support eliminating this.
I think also, and Ed will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that, you know, higher ed institutions are considered charitable, or at least you can deduct those contributions from your income taxes. You just got to not make a gift to them. So this is a credit on the other side of the coming off the revenue end. Am I correct in that assumption? Okay. So my vote's for elimination.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
This is, so there's no confusion, this is post-secondary schools.
Well, Mr. Chair, it's not just for secondary, it is K through 12.
Oh, you're right. It was changed starting in 98. Thank you.
I could favor eliminating this.
Okay, let's take a poll here. Richard Merkley, did you have a comment?
Oh, I also support eliminating it. I agreed with the argument that was presented by industry. However, for any company that has taxable income, they still would receive the equivalent on the deduction side, not the direct equivalent.
Right. Okay. So opposed to eliminating the credit, Representative Williams. Okay. Ed will delete it, please. Okay. The next one on our list, earned income credit. We have a lot of proposals dealing with this in other bills and modifications requested. So I would suggest leaving this alone. Or you, Representative Rasmussen, requested a sunset date.
I did. The moment the action is to have a sunset placed on it. I would continue to support a sunset tax credit in order to force periodic review.
Okay. And your suggestion was 1231.03.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody have a problem with that? Representative Witt?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I do not support putting the sunset on. I mean, I think this is a specific provision that provides real relief to low-income wage earners, and there's good, strong public policy for it. It reflects what's in the federal code, and I don't think we need to go back and be debating it 4 years from now as to if we should continue this or not. I think this is a policy that's very well grounded in the need to provide assistance to low-income wage earners and low-income wage-earning families. And I don't believe there needs to be a sunset put on it.
Jim Merkley?
I echo Representative Witt's points.
Jay Williams?
I agree that I don't think the sunset's necessary, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I'm seeing a trend here, Representative Rasmussen. People who want a sunset on this earned income credit.
Just copy.
Okay, I think we'll go through this one and leave the sunset being none. Next one, bone marrow transplants. We didn't have any testimony on this one. The bill would delete it. The analysis by Health Plan and Policy Research Office says it questions whether it's effective. So I would support eliminating this one. Or actually, yeah, I would support eliminating this one.
I agree, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Anybody object to that one? Okay. That's that one to be eliminated. Rural medical practice. This one is going to be dealt with in Senate Bill 530, so that I'd ask that you delete this credit from the bill.
So that it's left as is.
Right. But we'll be dealing with this particular issue in a separate Senate bill.
Just clarifying the context and delete.
Yeah.
I noticed the representative to my right here twitch a little bit.
Okay, the next one, costs in lieu of nursing home care. Even the evaluation says this tax expenditure has not achieved its purpose. So, since it has no sunset date, the bill eliminates the credit. I would support eliminating the credit. Anyone disagree?
No.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Shadowing?
Was there any testimony on this one?
No, there wasn't. Disabled child. I did note that we had some testimony on this, and I have a little note here to myself. I'm not sure what this means, but 8,600 taxpayers claimed the disabled child credits with an average credit of $126. I testified in favor of a bill regarding medically fragile children the other day, and in my mind, if the state can't help people who have children who are disabled and medically fragile, we ought to shut down business. So I support leaving this one alone.
Great.
I'd say the same about elderly or permanently disabled. The request was for sunsets, but, you know, frankly, I don't think these need to be reevaluated.
Not going to go away. Right. The problem is not going to go away.
Got that in?
Got it.
Okay, loss of limbs. This one was really bizarre because it allows a tax credit of $50 for taxpayers with permanent and complete loss of function of at least two limbs.
Mr. Chair, do we have any testimony on that?
No, I don't have any notes on this one at all. They say it achieves its purpose. 300 taxpayers claim this credit. I just can't believe that we place a value of $50 on the loss of two limbs.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rasmussen.
There is a note that there's a concern that those who qualify for the credit may not earn sufficient income to fully utilize it. So.
Well, I think what we ought to do on this one is put an 01 sunset on it so that it will be talked about in more detail. Anybody object to that? I mean, I'm inclined to take it away, but it just seems pretty heartless to take away a $50 tax credit for loss of two limbs. let's see. Severe disability. One additional exemption, personal exemption for persons who have severe disability. Yeah, 01. Okay. The severe disability, I think is appropriate. I would recommend leaving it alone. Disagreements? Okay. The Oregon Capital Corporation Investments requirements for enacting the program were never met. I think we should delete this statute. Anybody? Any disagreement?
No.
Okay, here's one. Qualified research activities. The this credit allows 5% of costs in excess of base amount for qualified research. It's one that we did have testimony on that one of many that people said that should be expanded. It does have an 01 sunset date.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Witt.
I think the report here indicates there's only 80 companies that used this credit in the previous biennium. And, of course, this is very narrowly tailored to certain types of research and applies to a very small percentage of firms in the state of Oregon. I don't like tax credits like this that are so targeted in such a way that they have discriminatory bias built into them. I think if people want to make a case that we should be subsidizing research through the tax code or increases in research through the tax code, it should be much broader and should be applicable to a lot more taxpayers, a lot more corporations. I don't like the credit the way it's currently constituted and support eliminating it.
Okay. Any other comments?
Mr. Chair.
Except
I was not serving what its intention is. Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Representative Federal.
This looks to me one that may be narrowly tailored, but it's just being highly utilized, and I just believe that is an indication of I guess if there's a if there's a market out there, it's certainly being used. I'd be not inclined to eliminate it. Sure, want to have some more testimony about it before we do anything like that.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rasmussen.
I would also support keeping both of these credits as they are currently put together with the 01 review.
Other comments? Representative Wells.
You look on page 124. Description and purpose. It is not really, yes, it's narrow and you're talking about technology, but then we have environmental, electronic device, biotech, advanced materials, and anything to stimulate, I would say, in our private sector research. I think it's economically proper, you know. I think if we don't do some of those things, but certainly at our research level at universities and don't do it at the private sector, then we really can't, I think, in the future look to increasing economic development here in the state. No, very.
Representative Merkley. Mr. Chair, as I commented during testimony on this one, it is now true that Boise is being ranked over Metropolitan Portland as a place for the future of high tech because of the effort they're putting into university research programs. I think it's a very important issue for us to look at in the future, and I don't know if the money spent here, this $17.8 billion, is best spent here or best spent augmenting our research, but since it's not a trade-off at this point, I think we should leave this in place and hold that discussion when it sunsets 2 years from now.
Mr. Chairman, I would just point out there's 80 firms that use this. To me, that is not widely used, and the average credit was $100,000. That's a direct tax expenditure. You know, if it's the pleasure of most members of the committee to leave the sunset in place, I'll support that. But I think the credit, the way it's constituted, is biased, discriminatory, and I don't think it's been proven to have any kind of justification that supports that kind of expenditure.
Anybody else have a comment on that? Representative Witt, I really tend to agree with you on the focus of this, but I think we should leave the sunset date in place. I do think this needs a more thorough analysis, sort of on its own, in a standalone kind of a bill. But I don't care for the idea of, again, as we've said before, using a tax credit route for this kind of support, and I agree with the comment that was made that perhaps this would be better used as grants or as direct payments for some sorts of research. But nevertheless, We did also have testimony about the business climate and the environment and sort of messages being sent and so forth. And so I would support just leaving the sunset in place. Okay. I think we have consensus on that on the next two. Ed? Okay, investment in rural enterprise zone. This one, when I first looked at it, saw zero and not applicable and not available. I thought this was one that was ripe for the picking. However, we did have testimony on this that it was specifically directed toward the Nucor steel mill and the Coos Bay area, and so I would support leaving this one alone. It has an O2 sunset, and hopefully that project will get underway.
Mr. Chair, I agree with you, and I'd also point out that there are other bills that are circulating towards this committee that deal with expansion of the enterprise zone definition, so we may have another chance.
Right. Right, and this one is, you know, narrow and specific, and was designed to address this specific need. I would just recommend to the Economic Development Department that if they're listening and if they do this kind of evaluation next time, that they should be a little more direct in their analysis of this, because you can't find that out by reading this analysis. Okay, next one. Are you getting all this? Okay. Child dependent care. Does anybody want to eliminate this one? Anyone want a sunset date on this one?
I do.
Representative Rasmussen? Anyone join Representative Rasmussen?
I can count.
Okay. Take this out of the bill, please, Ed. Working family child care and dependent care assistance. I think we all goes in the same boat, right? Dependent care facilities. All right, first break program. We had the former Representative Schoon, Representative Shetterly, report on this program from the Employment Department.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Shetterly, I don't know how you feel about
it. This is one that the problem seems to have been that it was... just complicated enough and just narrow enough as it was drafted not to be utilized. But to the extent, I would propose, at least in this bill, leaving it as is, and if there's anything else that may need to be done with it, coming back to it, but not deleting it anyway.
Okay, any other comments, Representative Rasmussen?
Did we not have language submitted that proposed changes to this? Give it a little more of an opportunity to work on.
Have those been done in LC?
I'm not sure they've been done in LC. I guess the question is, as long as this bill is open, would we want to give run this through LC and put this into this bill so that I would support giving this particular credit another shot to succeed? And I would support modifying that in this bill.
Okay. Mr. Williams?
Mr. Chairman, I was approached by people here, I believe, working with former Representative Schoon about a bill which I had filed, which had an appropriate relating clause, and they asked if they could essentially hijack that bill for purposes of amending the changes that were initially proposed in non-LC form. I gave them my permission to do that because we were already, it was a bill, I believe it was a local option bill, and we already have a vehicle in this committee that we're working with. So I suspect that you will see amendments and requests from those folks to have a hearing on that bill, which would essentially be a gut and stuff to do what former Representative Schoon and Representative Shetterly discussed doing with this program.
Okay, Representative Rasmussen.
Is our deadline for hearing all House bills at the end of this week?
Yes, it is.
So if we want to do that to either this particular bill or Representative Williams' bill, we would have to be prepared to do that this week.
Sure.
Correct. Yes.
Maybe what we could do would be to have the amendments proposed by the Employment Department prepared as a separate amendment to 2947 and take them up that way, as opposed to plugging them into this comprehensive set of amendments that we're going through this morning.
Okay. Jim, any other comments on this?
Mr. Chair, I support what Representative Williams is wanting to do here. I hope we have a bill that we've already tapped in, or we could tap in by the end of the week we could use.
Well, we can either do it that way or we can do it as an amendment here. I'll tell you, my personal feeling on this, having been on the committee when this was first enacted, sounded good. It was an issue that was very high profile at that time. It seemed like one of these things that, wow, we've got to do this in order to save the inner city, and yet zero certificates have been issued. No one has been hired. Nothing has happened. And in my opinion, I don't think the presence of this bill would have changed anything on the ground as things are happening. And I think what we're doing is creating another set of paperwork, another bureaucracy, another layer of forms. I think we should eliminate this tax credit.
Mr. Chairman, I support that.
All right. Any other discussion? All right. In favor of eliminating this tax credit?
Well, Mr. Chair, I would favor eliminating it, and then with the understanding that Representative Williams' bill will come up and we'll discuss it at that point. It doesn't seem in its current form that leaving it the way it is doing anybody any good. And unless we're going to change it so that it works, I'll favor deleting it.
Well, Mr. Chair, that's why I proposed, I guess, to bring together Representative Williams' comments and Representative Rasmussen's, that we have a separate amendment drafted to 2947 and take this back up as a standalone issue when we bring the bill back up. And we can decide either to expand or eliminate it at that point. But that would at least give us the opportunity to look at the NNLC draft of the amendments.
How about we don't put things in this particular bill that create new tax credits, but if we leave this as the eliminate of the sunset tax credit bill, and we can look at this other issue on a separate cut and stuff.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I want you to know that I made my bill available as a courtesy. I do generally support the concept, but I leave it to those that are promoting the idea to come before the committee and make their case for the expansion.
Mr. Chair? Representative Rasmussen?
If we wish to take this issue up in a separate bill, then I would support leaving any reference to the first break program out of the current bill. It's a little bit odd to be deleting it and then repass it.
Right.
I think that if we're going to come back and revisit this credit in another vehicle, then we should delete any reference to it in 2947.
Right. That would be the mechanism that I would recommend if we were to
take it out of the bill.
Take it out of the bill. However, I am on the losing end. My recommendation is, frankly, to eliminate the program. I think it's a feel-good program that we all think is something that's important, but is not really. But we've lost that argument, Representative Witt, this time around.
Okay.
Farm worker housing construction.
Mr. Chair.
Sam Merklin.
On the, back to the first break program for just a moment,
okay.
Unless we take action, it will sunset before the next session. So, in essence, unless we pursue another vehicle to modify it, it will be gone.
Well, right. So we'll evaluate it sort of on its own in a separate bill. But again, my point is that if absolutely no one has taken advantage of the program, no kid has been hired, nothing has changed in the real world, I don't know why we would go back and recreate this over again. I thought you were going to talk about farm worker housing construction, or something, Merklin.
I can skip forward from 1128 to 1129 if there's no discussion on 1128.
Well, looks to me like, 1128 is not even in our bill, so forget that. 1129 is, and there were people who testified that this was important. However, I note that there were three taxpayers who claimed it in 1994, eight in 95, and six taxpayers in 1996. I think with all the other programs that are available, this one does not seem to be effective, and I would support
Thank you. My recollection is that the testimony that we got really seemed to be addressing more of the credits we weren't looking at than this credit in particular.
Exactly.
Mr. Chair, on this particular credit, I believe it was Mr. Sessler of the Department of Housing and Community Services who noted that they did have some suggestions for improving this, making it more parallel to the Oregon Affordable Housing Tax Credit, which is the lender's tax credit for non-farm worker housing. And also, Senator Castillo has Bill Senate 981 that would move management to the Department of Housing and Community Services and would also be in a step in the direction of bringing it into line with our other housing pieces. I'm not sure if 981 has been forwarded yet out of the Senate or the status of that particular bill.
I don't know that. Okay, Rosenbaum?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would oppose elimination of this. I realize it may not be the most important piece of housing for farm workers, but the crisis is so great that I think even if it does facilitate a small number of projects, it's still worth keeping.
Well, I think it's, frankly, kind of a ineffective program.
Mr. Chairman?
Can I what?
I support eliminating this this tax credit. I think 1.128, the Farm Worker Housing Construction Credit, is where the credit should be going. This is a very indirect way to provide some kind of tax credit or support to encourage people to build or rehabilitate farm worker housing. Much better, I think, that you provide the credit to the people that are actually spending the dollars and to the lender. And I think the history of this program shows it's used very infrequently.
The analysis also says primarily large lenders who can invest the time and money to take advantage of this.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Blakely,
if you would entertain such a bill, I could bring forward the Department of Housing and Community Services proposals for modifying this and have an amendment for that and stuff process.
Well, we would treat that in the same way we're talking about the other bill. It would be a separate issue. I don't want to include an expansion or a change other than a sunset date in this bill. Okay. Anybody else in favor of eliminating this credit? How about we just leave the sunset date on it where it is? Okay, Ed, put the sunset date back. Involuntary mobile home moves. We did learn some information about this. I think that was worthwhile. That the reason this hadn't been used is because there hadn't been parks that were closing, but that is imminent in several locations. So I support leaving this one alone. Okay, the next one on our list is crop gleaning. We did have testimony on this that while it's little used, that the some people feel that it's helpful. The food bank people felt that it was worthwhile.
Mr. Chair, I support, of course, leaving that on. I did have a bill in to improve it a little bit. There is some requests, and those who garden, this is their way to give instead of cash, and that's what we're trying to do, provide food for others, and there's another way to be able to give.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Williams?
I was just going to ask Representative Welch to clarify the word improve. Does improve mean to expand?
I think in this situation, you could probably define it better.
Okay. Just checking.
Okay.
I've got a few I want to improve later down the line. You represent it well.
I've got a couple of my own.
That was the word to hear.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Williams, do it the best way you can.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I agree. I think we should leave this.
Okay. Sunset date, anybody? Anybody else on a sunset? Any else? No.
Mr. Chair, in seriousness, Representative Welch, is your bill the House Bill 2339?
I think it is.
Is the chair disposed to hear that bill?
We can add it to the list. To the ever-growing list of new tax credit proposals.
Mr. Chairman, wouldn't crop cleaning get a deduction if it's being given to a charitable organization?
The difference between this and our argument about computer donations was what?
Hello, Mr. Chair.
Well, I think Ed's going to the question here.
One second. Representative Whip, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I think the distinction is that the gleaning occurs actually on the farmer's field. So the members of the group or cooperative would come in, actually harvest the crop, leftover crop, whatever. And I'm not sure how the charitable deduction would work in that case. I think if the farmer had actually delivered the produce to the door, to the cooperative, then they're ineligible for the deduction. But if the crop were harvested by someone else off of their own field, then they were less able to do that. And the reason for the credit was to enable them to donate by having someone actually come onto their field and provide the labor for them and cart off the produce for the charitable purpose.
Representative Shetterly?
Well, I was just going to ask if every gleaning cooperative is necessarily a 501c3 or otherwise tax-exempt organization for which a contribution would be deducted. Certainly would be the case where contributions to schools would be deductible. I'm not positive that every gleaning cooperative would necessarily qualify as a tax-exempt entity. So I'm not sure the deduction is available in all cases.
Okay. Representative Rasmussen?
Would a co-op training organize
I don't know. I think we're going to leave it alone.
Non-profit without being tax-exempt.
Let's see. Alternatives to fuel burning is included in 1.135. We'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, 1.135 is the next thing we have up. Pollution control. This is a big one. I think there's another bill that deals with this also, isn't there? Ed, are you aware of the bill?
I'm sure there are other bills.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Witt?
I would support leaving the sunset in place, and the reason being is that firms that invest in pollution control equipment that could qualify for this credit, often it takes them a period of 2 or 3 years from the time they've made the decision to invest the capital to actually do the work and complete the investment. I think it's I think there is some good arguments as to if this is if this should be eliminated at some point in time, but I think we should give appropriate notice before we do that. And a period of 2 or 3 years seems to me is minimal appropriate notice. We don't want taxpayers to be relying upon the credit being in place, be making business decisions and investment decisions based upon the credit, and then jerk the credit away from them when they're in the midst of making that decision or installing the equipment that would qualify for the credit. Knowing that the sunset is there in 2003 should be warning enough as we look ahead, but I think it's inappropriate at this point to just jerk the credit away.
Sure. Representative Goff?
I think until we have full discussion on this, maybe it's appropriate for an interim discussion, but until we also consider right along with this is the substantive issues around this and the regulations that these companies come under. If we eliminate certainly a pollution control tax credits, then we better look at what we can do to help these companies on the regulatory side of things, too.
Okay. Any other comments?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rasmussen?
I'm certainly content to leave it as is with the sunset, but I could also support more immediate elimination. I'm not sure that it's necessarily that positive. It hasn't made that large, significant of a case to me, but leaving it as is, whatever.
Yes, Chair.
Representative Fetterman.
I think leaving it as is makes the most sense, and I just want to echo what Representative Witt said about that, but I think companies that have charted out capital investment programs that are designed to implement the pollution control systems and take advantage of the tax credit over the period of time, I think have done so in reliance on this sunset date, and it may be worth sending a fair notice that we're going to look, the legislature is going to look skeptically at extending this, at least as it relates to credit for systems and activities that are required by law.
Exactly.
But to pull it out at this point, while we've got companies that are in the middle of capital investment programs and reliance on the credit, I think it would be inappropriate. And for the same reason, I think it would be inappropriate to shorten the sunset, too, because I think those programs have been designed with that sunset date in mind.
Mr. Chair. Representative Merkley.
I missed your introduction on this one. Were you advocating for its removal?
I haven't said yet. Actually, the purpose is to meet government pollution control standards. I think that's too low a threshold. They have to apply within 2 years of completion of the facility. So I think it's one that should be phased out, but I think we could probably leave the specific date where it is. In my opinion. Anybody object to that?
Leave it sunset.
Yeah, leave it as 03 sunset.
Well, Mr. Chair,
I'm
not going to object, but I would if the politics just looks a little different for accelerating it, because I do think it's an example of one that's hard to eliminate.
It is.
Keep putting in it off for legislatures beyond when many of the current members are here, it may become impossible.
Right. Well, we could move the sunset up to 01. Anybody support that?
I could support 01.
I'm seeing those. Who could support 01?
I would rather, Mr. Chair, have more testimony. I'm really unsure about what the effects of moving the sunset are. I could be inclined to go that way, but I would have to, I think, not having a business myself. I don't know what the realities of that.
I think very appropriate if you were to do that is that we also have another vehicle to get something started in an interim on discussion around this.
Okay. Leave it alone. Reclaimed plastics. We didn't have any testimony on this. 1.136. Oh, alternatives to field burning has an 01 sunset date. I think we should just leave that alone. I was not convinced that there was a great need to continue this program, but since it does have a phased down period, we should probably allow those who are looking at that to continue to use that. Okay, anybody object to deleting reclaimed plastics?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Shetterly?
I guess not having had any testimony about it, looking at it and what it does, I think it's a worthwhile credit. I see that it sunsets in 01. My inclination would just leave the sunset on.
Okay.
I would echo that.
Leave the sunset. That's their consensus.
I didn't support that.
I could support eliminating it or leaving the sunset.
Yeah. 01 sunset in. The next one that we have up is the fish gleaning, which is actually a program that expired a long time ago, but it's still on statute. We had somebody testify that it should be restarted.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Witt.
pretty hard to support a credit that doesn't do anything. The way it's currently constituted, it's not helping anybody.
And it sunsetted in 1993 after nobody expressed interest in using it. Why don't we delete the statutory reference? Anybody object to deleting that?
Mr. Chair, isn't it already deleted by the sunset?
Well, no, the sunset, the program sunsetted, but it's still in statute.
Okay.
So I think we should just clean up the books and take it out.
I think we could take a real hard stand on this one. Firm. Unified.
Besides, who wants green decision? Please, Ron. House Bill 2339 actually adds just cleaning back into the upcoming the bill. I think that's and Welsh was referring to that expands and defines the cup cleaning.
Improves.
Okay.
Improving.
Well, we'll look at
new improved.
Let's take the reference out here.
Bigger and better.
Okay, the next one up is fish screening. Had no knowledge of this, but I've been persuaded that it's a valuable credit, so I seek support leaving it alone. Next one is alternative energy devices. We've all had a lot of people talking to us about this one. And the revenue impact for next biennium is $6 million. In fact, I was reading yesterday, there was a story about people who live off the grid. Did you see that in the paper? But one of the mentions that they made in there was people are taking advantage of tax credits. I thought, well, it doesn't really make any sense to take advantage of tax credits if you don't live anywhere near a transmission line. You have to have an alternative energy source just to run your refrigerator, but they're still getting a tax credit. What I would support on this one, if it has an 01 sunset date, I would support leaving the sunset date for space heating or cooling, electric energy generation or domestic water heating, but deleting the tax credit for swimming pool, spa, or hot tub heating.
Okay, Mr. Chair, but they're still energy consumption items, and the concept around this is to conserve.
And I think that anybody who wanted to put in an alternative energy device, solar heating for their swimming pool, could go ahead and do it.
They will do
that. But I just don't think we need to have the rest of the taxpayers of Oregon pay for it.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rasmussen?
I'm not so much sure that the idea is whether or not we're paying for someone else's swimming pool heating system as it is we're trying to avoid building new dams or new energy generating coal-fired plants, those kinds of things. And so if the idea is that someone is going to be heating the hot tub no matter what, and I think that the thinking behind the alternative energy device is just trying to say you have more than one place to derive the energy for that heat from. We're not going to worry about whether or not that's a lifestyle choice or not. We're going to worry about whether or not we're reducing your impact on what kinds of things we have to do in order to generate electricity. And so I would support continuation of the tax credit as is.
Okay, Chairman. Representative Williams.
My recollection is, and it's a little foggy, that we had some testimony about from the affordable housing people about the impact this credit had with respect to putting together affordable housing projects.
Yes, we did. St. Vincent de Paul people talked about that as reducing rent. But again, they were talking about space heating, water, domestic water, et cetera, not swimming pools and spas. Okay. Does anybody support my suggestion?
I support it, Mr. Chairman.
1, 2, 3. Do I hear more?
Four,
five.
I won't balance.
Sounds
okay.
Good.
All right. Ed, please delete the item 4 there, swimming pool, spa, or hot tub. Okay, business energy. Jenny Rasmussen, what do you think?
Well, to tell you the truth, my thinking on this has changed. I have been a long time not particularly impressed by this particular credit, and given the size of it, I've been looking for it to go away. But I spent some time talking with the department, and I think that they have done some things to the tax credit that makes it worth keeping in our current system. I think that one of the things that has really struck me is the importance that it has to in the Portland Airship, where we are under federal mandate to reduce our car commuting, and employers are, this tax credit becomes available to employers as part of their employee trip reduction program. And I think it's a tool that we need to keep a hold of. And maybe this is my term limits, but I've actually changed my mind on this one. That's from my original.
Okay. Say what?
Mr. Chairman, this sunsets 12/31/01, and I think this is similar to the pollution control credit that these investments often are take a period of some time. I think it's appropriate that we leave the sunset as it is.
Anybody? Yeah, okay. Is that, what about putting the sunset back on? Everybody okay with that?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Shetterly?
No, just not so much to this, but there's one other approach to some of these that we're we have kind of mixed feelings about. I'll just mention this, and if anybody wants to go back and talk about some of these, we can. One way to reduce the impact of some of these tax expenditures would be to reduce the amount of the credits available, as opposed to outright either elimination or or not leave the incentive. But if the idea here is that we are trying to recoup some loss to the general fund of this, you know, this would be one where you could potentially. No justification for it, and arbitrary. You say, well, 30%. You know, you've recaptured some while maintaining the spirit of the program, and there are some I know that we've passed over where we've been kind of had mixed minds about. We could go back and perhaps look at doing that, and instead of leaving in place for the full amount of the credit, we may go back and want to consider reducing the credit available.
Okay.
Certainly support that.
That's a good suggestion. Any other discussion on that one?
I would just, excuse me, Mr. Chair, be curious of hearing how that affects, maybe it doesn't, and it, I mean, it sounds like it could be a good idea, but how it affects somebody's decision to make an investment in renewable resources or conserving energy, because I think that that is something that we want to encourage, and it does end up benefiting the state in the long run when businesses consume less energy.
Do you want to improve that?
Yeah, I'd like to have a bill in anyway.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Ross.
The most viable energy sources right now that they're investing in, large investments, large megawatt production of energy, is certainly the gas generation. And but if we're concerned about, you know, the CO2 output and other pollutants, you know, this certainly gets to that issue here, and I think helping with those companies that are going to be deciding these to use the newest technology, and certainly have that in statute anyway, but it's a important part of what we're doing here.
Mr. Chairman, you know, one can debate if this is good policy or not. I have my concerns about it. From the standpoint of detrimental reliance, where we told companies that this credit exists out there and that this law will be on the books through 12/31/01, and they've made investment decisions based upon that law, I think it would be wrong for us to pull the credit away or to lower the credit. And they've made certain investment decisions based upon the law being in place. So I think we should leave the credit as it is and leave the sunset or put the sunset in at 12/31/01, which I think is the current sunset.
Right. I'd just point out this has been in place since 1979, and the analysis says that the number of credits and number of applications is declining. And I think especially in the downtown Portland area,
last 20 years, most of the old buildings have been retrofitted, and the new buildings being built are much more energy efficient. So I think we should put the sunset date back on. I like Representative Shetterly's suggestion, but I think we should just put the sunset date back on and leave it go.
Okay.
All right. Energy conservation lenders credits. I was told that this was just a basically put in as a sort of a fairness thing for people who had oil or wood heated homes instead of electric heated homes because they felt left out. And that's really all this does is lets people get some tax credit for storm windows and caulking and insulation and so forth if they have oil or wood heat. Pleasure of the committee. Committee Williams.
Mr. Chairman, I guess for not so much even my own district where I think there's a fair amount of, not very much, maybe some oil, but very little wood heat. But I think for other parts of Oregon where people heat their homes substantially with wood and in a lot of those areas, I think you'll find a higher percentage of oil heat, either because of the expense or unavailability of gas. You know, this isn't a lot of money for some people, but I'm not sure why we ought to carve them out of the conservation and efficiency discussions.
Okay. Should we put the sunset date back on it,
Mr. Chairman?
Say what?
Yeah, I mean, I'd point out this is a lender's credit. It's not the credit to the person who's making the investment. Again, it's a very indirect way of doing this. And I could support deleting it or putting a sunset in place, but and these lender credits, I think, are an indirect approach to addressing issues, and I don't think they're the best approach.
Right, and especially for if they take out a loan to even do this, you're paying interest on it, and the lender's getting the tax credit.
Right.
Yeah. And put a sunset on it?
At least.
And all of you who are coming back next session, be tougher than we are this time. Okay, geothermal heating system connection. We had no testimony on this one in the bill.
As I recall, this one is dying out anyway. But,
well, it already sunsetted.
According
to this, it already sunsetted, and this is just a hail.
They were letting it tail off.
Mm-hmm. Up to 5 years. It ended in 96.
It's confirmed out.
It did.
Even one. It's over.
My colleagues are encouraging me to put on the record the remark that this credit is running out of steam anyway. So.
We're a little hot-headed.
Okay, reforestation, which we were told should actually be called reclamation. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair, I support keeping this as is with the 01 sunset.
Mr. Chair, I do likewise.
Anybody in favor of eliminating this one? Sunset on it. Please. Leave it as is. Fire insurance credit. Well, we discovered that there's a reason for that one, too. Right. So I'd suggest leaving that one alone.
Since that might be true of all of the ones we've
got. Yeah.
Well, actually, though, this one, oh, wait a minute, before we go any further with that, this one runs the fire marshal's office.
No, it's kind of like you'd almost want to move them back into the general fund.
Exactly. So I think that ought to be a discussion on its own.
Yeah.
How about we put a 01 sunset date on it and let you do it next year?
Sounds good to me.
Oh, three.
Yeah. Hey.
Oh, five.
Let's just go to not term limits.
Okay, 12/31/03. Can we put that on there?
Howard. I think a one.
Mayor Shetterly doesn't have to deal with it.
That's right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Let's see. 147, nobody got a credit on that, according to my notes. Workers' comp assessment allowed as a credit against corporate excise tax for work
workers' comp insurers.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Fairley.
I think the this and the one previous and the next two, all, to me, all
yeah.
have the same flavor to them. I'd suggest that we kind of treat them the same way.
All right.
Sure, I agree.
Well, the I think the 03 sunset applies for the fire insurance credit to run the fire marshal's office, but these others are sort of a self or consumer protecting fund that balances whether somebody goes out of business or not. So I think we ought to leave those alone. All right, how much did we save, Ed?
$3.60.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll get this back in the form of a final amendment. Okay?
About 258 cents.
$250,000?
Mm-hmm.
Hang on.
No, let's see, there's
200. Okay.
250, it's okay.
Well, we're going to keep going here. What's the next bill? But I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2947. Ed, do you have another one of these? 2949, 7 years.
I'm glad to get to all of them.
Oh, you are? Okay. We do. There. Do you want to go next? Okay. We'll go to 2950 next. Open a work session on House Bill 2950. Shuffle some papers. And let's see, page number 100. Physicians in medically disadvantaged areas.
I have a hunch we have another bill to deal with this issue.
Well, but this is a different one. No one is taking advantage of this tax expenditure. And this is not the rural practitioner tax credit.
We're in House Bill 2950.
Oh.
2950 is what we're in now.
1800 in the book.
So I think we ought to eliminate this one. I think this is taken care of in the rural practitioner tax credit, which is Senate Bill 530.
Okay.
Anybody object to eliminating this one?
Well, just on the record, I'm not for my rural areas.
I think we all want to do something appropriate for the rural practitioner,
mm-hmm.
but not necessarily this vehicle.
Do we have testimony on this?
Nobody.
Sure.
Nobody spoke on this specific one. And no one is using it.
This looks like, it's between 74 and 82. It makes it slow to use. This is more of a statute cleanup issue.
Yeah, people licensed between 74 and 82 to practice medicine. Right?
No.
Take it out.
Now.
All right, the next one that was up was 094, which is donations of art by the artist. It's a Oregon income tax subtraction. I recommend eliminating this one.
I support the chair.
Yeah. Mr. Chair.
Representative Rasmussen.
As my brother is a professional artist, I probably need to declare a potential conflict of interest, but it would also support eliminating the credit. So.
Okay. Everybody.
I'll have a conflict. Just
everybody in favor of that one?
Well, again, Mr. Chair, it is a tough one. This is somebody donating their work and part of their livelihood and for charitable reasons, right?
Right.
Another way of giving.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Williams.
I have seen this in use particularly in the area of charitable auction sorts of events where it seems to me that there's a considerable amount of artwork that's donated. Usually by the artist, I would still favor, I think, doing away with the credit. I think they get a fair amount of free PR and the other benefits that most other people who contribute to those programs receive. So I would support it. But I will say that I have seen it actually work, and I'm sure the artists are taking credit for it.
Mr. Chair, and yes. Andrew Street on Saturday night, it did occur. A very nice piece of Scott's metal work was donated by him.
Well, we appreciate the artists who do that.
I agree with that. I like to go to art auctions and watch people buy things, but I do question whether it's worth $100,000 of state expense to make that happen. I think if the shoe was on the other foot and we were debating an appropriations bill to pay artists to donate their work, I think we'd probably be talking about this differently.
Right, and the commission in the evaluation said it's not clear whether this expenditure has achieved its purpose because it's, first of all, very difficult to value what somebody's art is worth anyway.
Mr. Chair.
My brother's just along.
I believe that in the case of the auctions, the artist is able to take a donation because they're donating it to a charitable institution, and they have to get an appraisal if it's over a certain value, but this would not interrupt that particular
right. The donation would still be deductible.
Mr. Chair?
Actually,
I think if we delete this, the only deduction they would get would be consistent with the federal code, which allows them to deduct the cost of materials in producing the art. I don't think the cost of the work itself is deductible.
The value of work.
Yeah, the value of the work. Just like if I do pro bono legal work for a charitable organization, I can't deduct the time value of my billable hours for that.
Yeah. Well, $100,000 credit for the whole biennium, I think we can eliminate it. Next one, 096, local private activity bond interest. Subtraction for interest on non-qualified private activity bonds taxable on federal return. I didn't have any notes that anybody testified on this. Anyone familiar with this credit or have opinions about it?
I support the elimination for conformity with the federal tax code.
Good idea. The analysis, I think, supports that as well. Anybody else object to eliminating that? Okay. Next one, service in Vietnam on missing status. This one is a particularly emotional-laden topic now that we're involved in another overseas conflict, but no one qualifies for the exemptions and no longer anyone classified as missing. We should delete the statute, I think. It's a cleanup. That's certainly in no way intended to be slighting the Vietnam conflict or people who served there. Let's see, the next one also looks like one that we can delete because there's a new program that was established in the 97 session that makes this program inoperable. So we should delete that one as well, 098. The next one, 099, the program sunsets in 12/31/99 anyway. So I think we should leave this one alone, just let the sunset occur. And the last one in this section is cash payments for energy conservation.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rasmussen.
Before we fly too fast past this, it does appear to be connected to rural Oregon, where there is only one gas tank, apparently, for 300 gazillion miles. I'm wondering if we need to maybe keep a hold of this. I mean, they talk about a typical grant project as an owner-operated gas station in a remote area, going to pump gas 24 hours a day. And I think for Eastern Oregon colleagues, this might be a useful credit.
Mr. Chair?
Considering.
I note that looking at the book, the grant program is what some says the tax credit program apparently says not.
Right, and I believe that this was aligned with a deadline to have those tanks all retrofitted or replaced or gotten rid of anyway, so that was why the subtraction ended when it did. Yeah. But I do think we should just leave that as it was. Okay.
Sure, we've been working on this, and I think there's another program, and certainly I think E-Board in 98 adjusted some things on another program, too, on this particular need.
Okay. And the next one, then the cash payments for energy conservation. Had a dramatic drop-off in the estimated cost because utilities have reduced their conservation programs, according to the analysis, from $3.5 million down to $160,000.
Mr. Chair, utilities have dropped off the conservation programs, and apparently in part due to uncertainty over deregulation of the industry. And if at some point in time we do achieve stability in the program again, I guess I would consider leaving this one on the books or putting a sunset date of 03 on it and let it ride forward as a concept until the deregulation finishes moving through the legislative process.
I think that's probably fair.
Request here. I certainly support maintaining this. Again, it's just part of our other energy conservation.
Right, but again, what this does is it just says if you get a payment from a utility for putting in a more efficient appliance that it's not taxable income, and it's gone from $3.5 million to $160,000. Okay, let's put a 03 sunset on this head. Okay. Do you want to go next?
Got 2948 and 2949.
All right. So close work session on Hospital 2950. Open a work session on Hospital 2948.
We're in a work session?
Is that what I said?
I don't know.
Barbara, did I see a work session? I think I did. Yes, I did.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dashwan amendment to House Bill 2948.
Ed, is this all there is in that one?
That's fine, Mr. Chair, just the Dashwan amendment.
Okay. We didn't have any testimony in favor of keeping this, so I'm amazed.
Certainly no improvement suggested.
I don't even think they give out the little gift pack cigarettes downtown anymore.
You have a motion.
Motion is to adopt the Dash-1 amendment to House Bill 2948. Is there any discussion? Any Welsh?
We've gotten stuff.
Ed, what was the? This was originally the Vietnam.
Yeah, this was originally. Okay.
Yeah. So this is now the cigarette sample.
Cigarette samples. Okay. Got it.
Okay. Any objection to the adopting the dash ones? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2948 as amended to the floor to pass recommendation.
Representative Askelson moves House Bill 2948 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Everybody know what this is? Okay. Please call the roll.
Representative Tafori.
Aye.
Representative Merkley.
Aye.
Representative Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Representative Chatterley.
Aye.
Representative Welch?
Aye.
Representative Whitman?
Yes.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Rasmussen?
Aye.
Chair Strobeck?
Aye. Bill 2948 moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Ms. Rasmussen, would you agree to the bill?
Sure.
Okay. Close the work session of House Bill 2948 and open the work session of House Bill 2949. And this one starts with fraternities, sororities, and cooperatives, page 160. This one is property taxes, so anything we do here will just help the cities, is all it'll do.
Okay.
And the counties, they're all sitting here.
Mr. Chair?
Thank you for it.
Did anybody testify in favor of keeping this property tax exemption?
No one spoke before the committee, but I did receive a letter from Roger Martin, who is apparently the author of this provision when he was in the legislature. That
Who is that, Mr. Chair?
Roger Martin.
And what did he?
Well, he said that this would hurt the fraternities and sororities and their alums and their fundraising and so forth, because they currently either don't pay property tax or pay a lower property tax.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Williams.
My understanding of the credit is that it only is the education portion of the property tax that is exempt, that they still would pay rural fire protection district tax or other taxes, but it's only the education component. I'm trying to see that in the write-up here, and I'm not sure I read that, but that was my understanding.
You're saying the educational part of a fraternity?
No, no.
That'd be an underused.
What would that be?
No, Mr. Chairman, that's not what I'm. No, I'm suggesting that it's only that portion of the property tax, the education component of the property tax, that they're exempt from paying. That's
that first sentence of the description.
Ed, can you elucidate on that?
I think. President Williams referring to the first line in the description, or the first sentence in the description, that says the sorority, fraternity, or cooperative is exempt from property taxes levied by schools, educational service districts, and community colleges.
So it's us that we're affecting.
Yeah.
Not the city. Representative Rasmussen.
I would support eliminating this particular credit. Part of real-world living is going with that tax bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Witt.
I would oppose eliminating this tax exemption. Specifically, by allowing this deduction to be in place, what we are doing is we're supporting education and the housing of students while they're at educational institutions. And I think the write-up here shows that fraternities and sororities are the second most prevalent form of housing for students attending college. I don't think it's in public policy to raise the cost of housing for students who are attending Oregon colleges.
How about if we just put a sunset on this? Anybody have a problem with that?
I do, Mr. Chairman.
Jen?
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Shedling?
I honestly could just see the whole thing go away. I mean, again, if we look at this as an actual, if we look at this in the context of an appropriated expense, and then the issue of funding higher education, would we likely select this out as a worthwhile target for a specific appropriated line item? And I doubt that we would. There's a whole panoply of student housing options, public housing, of course, on campus, and you have private
property owners who own apartment buildings and houses that rent out, and certainly on the private side, they don't get tax benefits. I'm just not sure that, again, in the context, that this is entirely defensible.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes,
if we make housing more expensive than fraternities and sororities for students attending colleges, we will probably get less students living in fraternities and sororities, and thus they wind up going to dormitories at colleges and universities, which will put the demand for construction of more dormitories on a state budget. And I would think by eliminating this, what we're doing is we're leading ourselves into a higher expenditure for building those kinds of facilities. I think this promotes a diversity in terms of housing for students. I think this is a good, rational policy, and I would support leaving it as it is.
Representative Rosenbaum.
To add to the confusion, I would be more inclined to support a sunset on this. I think for the same reasons that we've had a lot of discussion about not drastically and suddenly reducing tax credits that are in the law right now. This one is, I think, as Representative White says, likely to have the effect immediately of raising the cost of housing. And it's not just fraternities and sororities, it's also co-op. And given that tuition is a topic that we have yet to deal with, but is affordable tuition is a huge problem in this state, it seems like the people immediately who stand to be affected are students. And I do support taking a look at this long-term to see if the money could be put to better use, but I don't think doing that immediately is the right approach.
Okay. What if we put an 01 sunset on this one and the next one, which is the furnishings that are in those fraternities, sororities, and co-ops?
Mr. Chair, I would, I guess I side with Representative Wood on this issue as well. I think that, this has been even the system of higher ed states an effective means of achieving its purpose of making more affordable student housing on Oregon campuses. I was never part of a Greek system, but I recognize that it is a wide option in most Oregon colleges for this opportunity to exist for students, and I think an 01 is probably too soon of a sunset on it. I guess I would take a compromise position on a sunset, but I would argue at a minimum for 03, and quite frankly, I prefer that we don't sunset it at all.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rasmussen.
I would continue to argue for immediate elimination, but I would be happy to support an 01 sunset. I think a $5 per thousand value shift, bringing that $5 per thousand value back onto the rolls for the issues of education is not an undue burden.
Mr. Chair?
Well,
if the taxpayers of Oregon are going to be contributing to the fraternity and sorority life, I hope that means that we'll be opening them up to all who apply, because as someone who did go through the Greek system, I seem to remember it is somewhat exclusionary despite the fact that they say it's non-discriminatory. I'm not...
Which one didn't you get in reference
for? I don't know the one I wanted.
It's interesting. We've gone through $19 million, but this is the most contentious one we've got. Representative Welch and Russell.
Well, I can't support it, putting any sunset dates. I think they were put there in for a reason, and we need to do everything we can to keep housing costs down and to help our college students.
I would like to say that I was a member of a sorority and did live in the dorms and managed to enjoy the benefits of both lifestyles, such as they were.
All right. We're going to propose an 01 sunset. Anybody in favor of that? 1, 2, 3, 4. And those who want to leave it as it is with no 1, 2, 3. And Representative Rosenbaum, how do you weigh in?
Oh, I hit my hand up for the sunset.
For the sunset, okay. Let's put an 03. Let it be 03 at all.
You
said 01. I said
01.
03 would get broader support.
Okay. 03 sunset on 002 and 003, please. next one in the bill is the private library for public use. Now, this
credit or this property tax exemption was enacted in 1854 before we were even a state.
In that respect, Mr. Chair, I was out of respect for it.
Anything over 100 years old gets
you. I call it grandfathered.
I miss his great-grandfather.
We didn't hear anybody speak on this. And even the analysis by the state library says they're not sure that this even achieves its purpose.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Shetterling?
I see I've got a library in my district that benefits from
that. Uh-oh.
Got one in mine and...
believe it.
Historically sound.
But some of these libraries are located in areas already served by tax-funded public libraries. It's hard to argue that granting tax exemptions to these libraries is in the public interest. This is even from the analysis.
Where are you reading this, sir?
Page 163.
Which paragraph?
Second from the last paragraph. Some libraries may not be dependent on ORS 307-160 for an exemption as they may be able to qualify for other exemptions. Secondly, some of these libraries are located in areas already served by tax-funded public libraries. It's hard to argue that granting tax exemptions to these libraries is in the public interest because these are private libraries that... are opened up for public
Mr. Chair, what about the previous paragraph, the ending sentence, in both the Jefferson County and Lane County cases, an argument can be made that there is a clear public interest in granting the tax exemption?
Well, the state library is arguing against itself,
Mr. Chair.
Representative Witt?
You know, these private libraries are going to have often different collections that you're going to have available in a public library, and I think we should encourage a diversity and a broad-based array of material being available to the public, and just because there's a public library in the area doesn't mean it should preempt making public access available and encouraged to private libraries that have different materials.
Yeah, I grew up in Lane County and went to the Eugene Public Library all the time, but I never knew there was a private library that I could go to.
Sure, that was a private library.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's leave this alone.
All right. Either that or
it's grandfathered in. We don't want to mess with our ancestors.
I mean, I was going to say a sunset clause for the year 2054. I mean,
we'll give them 200 years to get on their own.
Let's leave that one alone.
I love the 2000.
Okay, the next one that's up is on page 180. And that is fairground leased storage space. This was one that we did hear from some folks who were interested in preserving this property tax exemption, that it was important for the operation.
Preserving it, I am.
Preserving it?
Yes, I am.
Representative Williams?
Mr. Chairman, I because this benefits county fair operations, I am strongly in support of the county fairs.
I support that. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Anybody want to get rid of it?
I have no problem getting rid of it, Mr. Chairman.
I don't either, but I don't think we're in the... Pardon me?
I thought I can support it.
Mr. Chair, this is pretty critical to some smaller county fairs. Have you heard some testimony from John McCulley about that? It may not have a huge statewide impact, but it's critical to the counties in which they take advantage of it.
Let's put a sunset date on it, at the very least, hopefully.
That'd be great.
Okay, page 190. Nonprofit housing for the elderly. Does not appear to be a program that's in use.
Well, by saying that there are 15 homes specially assessed.
Well, Mr.
Chairman, did we have any testimony?
No.
We
had no testimony on this at all.
All right. That's a proposed elimination, then. I'll find out in a hurry.
Yep.
Well, Mr. Chair?
If nobody even knows what its impact is or how much the value is or whether anybody's using it, if you have to clear.
I agree with that. However, if there are 15 homes that are currently using it, I would hate to take those homes off the list.
Well, but it doesn't say, it says they're specially assessed, but it doesn't say that they're using this particular benefit.
Evaluated by the Housing and Community Service.
Right, and nobody can verify. No verification mechanism is in place. Representative Merkley?
I can support eliminating it because it notes that the those active in the provision of affordable housing claims program is not significant. And if we discover it was significant as a result of proposing eliminating it, we can revisit it.
Exactly. Then we'll have time to look at it, too. Okay. Should we eliminate it? Let's eliminate it. Next one, 199, mobile field incinerators. This one, we did have some testimony on. It's put in 1971 as a alternative for grass seeds. I believe the testimony was that nobody uses these, and the ones that were in receiving the benefit of this were sitting and rusting in farms, I believe is what we were told. So I would, since we already have the alternatives to grass seeds and grass field burning in that other bill, I would recommend eliminating this mobile field incinerator provision. Anybody disagree? Okay. Yes. Somebody said, but they actually said during the testimony that the machines themselves were rusting away because nobody uses them. Okay, next one is on page 205, pollution control facilities. And yes, we did. We had testimony supporting the continuation of this one. Anybody have any suggestions on this? Okay, it has a sunset date of 03, so leave it alone.
Yeah.
And Representative Welsh, the last one that we have is the next one is nonprofit sewage treatment facilities. Do you have any opinion about that one?
I think this had a very special one for last
year. Yeah, I know.
And protection of.
This one was your request for your constituents from Mapleton.
Yes, it was.
You're the only one that qualifies.
This is one of those that came across to us. One of those situations that should have been taken care of and that was bungled through the process. So we had to come back and get a special exemption for it.
But does this is this intended to be in perpetuity, or was that just a one-time fix?
No, it was supposed to. Well,
because there apparently is no one else that's involved in a non-profit corporation engaged solely in wastewater treatment and sewage treatment facility applications that began in 1996, and
it does provide exemption for 5 years.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, we'll leave this one alone. Next one. Next one is riparian habitat lands. I have this noted that we did have some testimony on this.
Where's the stems from?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Kefouri?
I think that this is an important one to keep. If we are trying to encourage people to designate the riparian area as sacred and leave it alone for the sake of fish, I think that we should continue this tax credit.
I believe that was the testimony, that this was an important part of the Hammond plan.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Shadowing?
If anything, I think this is one that...
Don't say you want
to... If it could be improved, but certainly the wrong direction would be to eliminate.
Okay. We'll leave that one alone. Ethanol production facility. I recommend that we delete this one. This was enacted when there was big rumors about a ethanol plant that was going to come here, and it didn't, and I think we should take it out. Anybody disagree?
Nope.
Okay. Take it out. Alternative energy systems. Again, remember, this is property tax we're talking about. So solar, geothermal, wind, water, or methane gas systems used for heating, cooling, and general electricity are partially exempt from local property tax to encourage use of alternative energy. As a sunset date of 02, which is the same as 01.
It's being used.
It is being used.
Program that's active still.
Yep. Okay, let's leave the sunset date. Leave it where it is. Next one is on page 230. Nonprofit telephone associations. We had no testimony on this.
Mr.
Representative Shittling?
If we didn't have testimony, I suspect it's because we're dealing here with pretty small associations, but I think like a lot of these, they may be small in terms of their statewide impact, but I have this feeling they're probably pretty important to the associations that depend on them, and then in turn, the communities that are served by these nonprofit systems.
Well, except for the fact under the WHO benefits section, it says that 8 nonprofit associations qualified for the exemption in 95-96, no associations qualified in 97-98.
Change
the limit, huh?
Yeah.
We need to improve it.
Yeah.
This is a candidate for improvement.
Well, I think for this one.
John, I support deleting it. I mean, no one's qualifying for it. If someone thinks it's a good idea, let's make it so that it propose a bill where it actually works and provides some benefit. I would propose that we delete this.
Exactly. Well,
both this one and the next one, according to the PUC, say they're not achieving their purpose, and if nobody qualifies, I agree. Let's delete both of these. Anybody disagree? Okay. And the last one, railroad right-of-way in water district. From property tax imposed by a water supply district.
Mr. Chair, which one are we on?
2.077.
Oh, okay.
I jumped to the wrong one. This one is railroad way used for alternative transport.
Nice.
Encourage things as light rail systems or bicycle paths.
Paths on right away.
Mm-hmm. Representative,
well, obviously it's not providing, it doesn't appear to be providing any benefit, last biennium or this biennium or the next biennium. I think we should look.
Yep, I agree. Anybody disagree? Okay, let's pick it up. All right. Well, we'll see 3 of these 4 back with final amendments. And we can move on to the end. Thank you all for going through this painful exercise. I think we've all learned how difficult it is to change course once something establishes some momentum.
You were going to.
Okay.
Please remember that we're meeting at 8:15 tomorrow morning, and coffee will be available, but coffee will be shut off at 8:20 if you're not here. We're done.